It's a great pleasure to welcome back to the show Professor Christine Lochner, who is a clinical psychologist and researcher at the MRC Unit on Risk and Resilience in Mental Disorders, based at University of Stellenbosch. Christine, lovely to have you back with us again. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Papa. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, it's been a while since we chatted. I think perhaps as a starting point, we should just revisit a couple of basic points around OCD before we move into the conversation about the study, etc. So could you just start by recapping, particularly for the sake of those who didn't hear our earlier interviews, what obsessive compulsive disorder actually is and how it presents?
Yeah, well, as you know, it's most people know it as OCD. It's a relatively common mental disorder, characterized by those uncontrollable reoccurring thoughts, which we call obsessions, and then behaviors or compulsions that the person feels the urge to repeat over and over. So typically, these obsessions would be fears of germs or contamination, or thoughts about very bad things that are going to happen, or forbidden or taboo thoughts about sex or religion or harmful things happening, or having things symmetrical or in perfect order. And then the compulsions that goes with those would be washing repeatedly, you know, excessive cleaning, ordering and arranging things. And importantly, I think most people have a few rituals. You know, we all have our things, our eccentricities and our things, our habits and things. But once they take up more than an hour per day and they start to interfere with your functioning on a day-to-day basis, then we can start thinking about the possibility of you having a diagnosis of OCD. So these rituals and behaviors, they're fine as long as they don't take up too much time and as long as they don't interfere. But once they cause this interference or distress, then you need to start thinking that there may be a problem.
Thanks for that, framework. Now, you mentioned something that made my ears prick, germs and the obsession with cleanliness and hygiene. This must be a particularly difficult time for people who have that particular presentation of OCD, Christine, because there's enough sort of panic around as it is and in some cases undue panic around COVID-19 without adding in a pre-existing concern around germs on surfaces, etc. Are you seeing that reflected in your study or in the people coming to you at all?
Yeah, but I think it's incredibly interesting. I think we all have focused on mental health issues during the past year.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all noticed that we are, you know, maybe more anxious than we thought we would be, or more depressed because we're lonely and isolated. I think a lot of mental health issues have come to the fore in the past, you know, 12 months or so. And especially in the case of OCD, you have to remember that not all people with OCD have these washing compulsions or washing, cleanliness obsessions. But there is a subset of people with OCD with these concerns. And on the one hand, definitely, people who have been washing excessively before, avoiding things that they associate with germs or dirt, and people who are overly conscious of germs. I mean, the past 12 months have been challenging, especially for them. And I think the increased anxiety about the virus may be triggering or fueling existing obsessive fears of contamination and harmful compulsive washing in these people. And I think for these people specifically, COVID-19 can become all they think about, you know. And due to the general fear of getting infected and the emphasis on washing hands by, you know, all the health advisories and so on, symptoms of OCD might worsen. And there are various factors in this pandemic that may worsen these symptoms. For example, the constant emphasis on the importance of proper hand washing, you know, the adequate duration, the correct steps, the washing your hands at regular intervals, you know, especially when coming in from outside, and then the constant bombardment by different media about the possibility of infection through contamination, you know, and also that need for proper hand washing, you know, all of those things might just trigger a lot of anxiety and a lot of symptoms in people with already existing OCD. But on the other hand, what we also saw with our study and with our interviews subsequently is that a lot of people have told me that now, finally, the world understands them better. You know, now they are better understood. Now, at least, their concerns are acknowledged. And, you know, now the rest of the world know what they've known all along. You know, they're sort of the expert by experience. And, and for them, I don't think the COVID pandemic has made a huge difference. You know, a lot of our participants, for example, those with contamination concerns, they just said, you know, we were doing it anyway. It didn't increase our anxiety. We were doing it this way in any case. So it didn't affect our lives. So you have both scenarios, both sides of the coin. You know, some people getting worse and then others just continuing as normal.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about the study and where it's at right now. As I mentioned at the start, it's been going for several years now. It is a global effort, certainly not just restricted to South Africa. Yeah. Your team is part of a very large international team involved here. Won't you just remind us what specifically it's looking at and what its aims are?
Yeah. So as you said, you know, we're the only research unit in South Africa that does research on OCD, and now we have been doing this study with sites in Sao Paulo, in New York, in Amsterdam, and Bangalore. And what we're interested in is to look at brain functioning and brain structures in people with OCD. So, because at this stage, you know, we know that there is a connection between OCD symptoms and functioning in certain areas of the brain, but we don't know everything there is to know about this connection. So thus far, you know, we've gained much insight into the cause of the disorder by comparing brains of people with OCD with those without the condition. And this study is particularly aimed at you know, discovering those multiple brain networks that play a role in OCD. But what we do is we now use standardized methods across all of these sites, you know, which is an improvement from before. You know, beforehand, different research units, they would all do their own thing. And that makes it very hard to compare results. So what we do, we use the same neurocognitive battery at all five sites. We use the same imaging sequences, etc. And so we're much further along. We started out recruiting in 2018. We're now in 2021. Mm-hmm. Last year was interesting. We couldn't recruit because we couldn't see people in person.
Yeah.
So that sort of delayed our recruitment. We're still on track, which is important for our funders. But it has been hard to keep going. But we're up and running, and we're recruiting adults with a primary diagnosis of OCD. But we're also interested in recruiting healthy controls. You know, obviously you can't just see people with OCD. You have to have a comparison group, and we're also including siblings of people with OCD. So that's fascinating because we know it is a familial condition. So we see the siblings as sort of a group in between healthy controls and people with OCD. And we've done well. I think, unfortunately, the South African site is lagging behind, not due to not enough effort and energy, but it is, I am not sure whether the South Africans, I don't know what the reasons would be for us not to be on par in terms of recruitment with the other sites. One reason is the other sites offer treatment in hospital, yeah, whereas our site is a research unit. But fortunately, you know, in addition to adding a subgroup of siblings in the past year, we've also now added a voluntary treatment leg to the study. So this is making things a little bit more attractive for people to take part. You know, we give participants, if they're interested, 12 weeks of an SSRI. It's a psychiatric medication that we use in OCD. It's already approved by the regulatory regulatory bodies, also in South Africa, for use in OCD. So this is not a drug that we're trialing. We know it may work. What we do is we scan people with an MRI before and afterwards to see what effects this drug have on OCD, but also on brain functioning and brain structure. So it is a fantastic study in the sense that it got so many angles. You know, the clinical angles. We look at depression, anxiety, insight, religion, culture, and then we also scan people. We look at their brains, and we also do a neurocognitive assessment. You know, quite a lengthy assessment to see how people with OCD and controls, how they make decisions, how impulsive they are, can they plan? You know, all of those executive functioning type of things. So it has been an interesting journey, and what we're now beginning to do, and I think this is what you wanted to ask me, is how far did we get?
Yeah, well, have you published anything yet? Are you starting to see enough to sort of draw conclusions?
Yeah, you know, at this stage, I was so excited last year because it would have been our first in-person meeting, our whole, you know, all of these sites, and it would have been in New York, my first visit. And then COVID happened. Yeah. So in the end, I was stuck in my own study, and we still met virtually in May, and we started to sort of present preliminary data. At this stage, we're not yet to the point where we can publish data, but we have about 5 publications which are reviews, you know, scientific reviews of, for example, OCD and brain signatures of OCD, but it's all review studies, you know, cutting edge genetics of OCD, all of those kinds of OCD focused papers, but they're all reviews of papers that have been published. So we haven't had the opportunity to publish data-driven papers. And that will come once we have reached our recruitment targets.
Which means you're still looking for more people to join the study. Christine, who are you looking for? And if somebody listening thinks they meet your criteria, how do they reach out to you?
Yeah, Papa, we are recruiting. We're recruiting, as I said, all participants have to be between the ages of 18 and 50 years and without head injuries or trauma or epilepsy, you know, so they should be relatively physically healthy, not pregnant, not be on medication. And patients, you know, people with OCD or even people thinking they have OCD and they haven't been diagnosed, they're more than welcome to contact me. You know, we can always do an assessment and ease your fears or make a diagnosis and get you to treatment. So a primary for patients with OCD, the OCD should be the primary concern, the primary diagnosis, but we allow secondary conditions like depression or anxiety, but they should just be secondary to the OCD. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of healthy controls, they should not have any history of any mental condition. So no depression, you know, diagnosed episodes of depression or anxiety, and they shouldn't have OCD members in their close family. But we do recruit siblings, you know, brothers and sisters of people with OCD, and they should also be healthy without any psychiatric condition. Mm-hmm. So it's a mouthful, but it's basically 3 groups, the one group with OCD, the second group with nothing, and then the third group also with no psychiatric condition, but they should be the sibling, the brother or the sister of someone with OCD.
And if someone meets those criteria, how do they reach out to you for more information, Christine?
Easy peasy. They can email me ocdrsa@sun.ac.za, or they go to our website global-ocd.org or our Facebook page OCDRSA.
OCDRSA, the important thing to remember. I've jotted down those details. If anybody missed them and is driving, for example, you're welcome to send me an email after the show and I'll pass them along. Professor, lovely to have you with us again. Good luck for the continuation of the research and look forward to chatting to you a little bit further down the line.
Lekker. I'm looking forward to presenting some data at some point.
That we will be here to hear about it when it's ready. Thank you so much, Professor Christine Lochner, clinical psychologist and researcher at the MRC Unit on Risk and Resilience in Mental Disorders.